Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together again. Those of us who love to be in your presence. We agree with King David that a day here is better than 1,000 out there. And that we were glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand in thy walls, O Jerusalem. Speak to our hearts, affect our lives. Let our time here, O God, be a blessing. Thank you, Father, for everyone who is here. Let them be under the teaching anointing tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, put your hands together for the Lord. And you want to tell one or two people, you're welcome to church tonight. And you may then be seated. Oh, some people didn't say anything. Please be, stand up. Yeah, you don't respect your pastor. What are you doing here if you don't respect your pastor? Tell 10 to 2 or 3 people, tell them, God bless you. It's good to see you tonight. And then you may please be seated. Yeah. God bless you. You may be seated. If you don't listen to your pastor, you won't be blessed, you know. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow disrespect, you reap 10 times disrespect. So if you want to be respected, at least your pastor must be respected. How many understand what I'm trying to say? All right. I want to preach about tithing tonight. Tithing. So I'm sure some of you are going to be hot in your seat. Yeah. Yeah. I intend to make you hot on your seat. That's right. Because I better warn you and caution you and to leave you to receive curses. I don't want to be a pastor of people who are under a curse. Because no matter my prayer, do you know that if you're under a curse, no matter whatever any preacher does, it cannot be removed? Yeah. Because it's God who has instituted the curse. So who are we, his servants, to come and say the curse is gone? No. It's not every prayer we pray that God does. Oh, just in case you don't know. That's why sometimes it's very, very tricky when people say, me, I won't do this, I won't do that. But then on the other hand, they expect to be blessed on the other side. No. God is not a Nigerian man. God is not a Nigerian man at all. No. You can't fault on one side and expect God to bless you on another side. I'll say it again. You can't expect to fault God on one side and expect him to bless you on another side. It doesn't work like that. So you can say, man, this one, me won't do that. But then this one, I like the. You like it or not, it will not work. I say it will not work. And now tithing, like some of us know, is a principle that God himself has set in his church. And it's very interesting that many people who don't have experience seem to have a lot of comments. In this world, people are like that. They don't have experience about something, but they are the ones who have a lot of comments to make. Do you get it? I was talking to a brother pastor. I call him a brother. He calls me a senior brother, so I call him a brother. Anytime we meet, we gaff. It's very nice and all of that. And he was saying that as he's learning from Bishop and he's putting some processes and systems and administrative things in place, when he goes to a different circles, they tend to make him feel like he's wasting his time. Why are you collecting information? Why do you want to know how many people pay tithe? What has that got to do with your pastoral work? Hey! What does that... It has a lot to do with my pastoral work. It has everything to do with my pastoral work. So I was telling him that, you know what? All those people are people who have not built things to a certain magnitude. And that's why they will have the audacity to criticize you who is trying to learn some things from a very rare, renowned, hard-to-find species who is doing church work and has done church work to this level. I tell you. And it's a similar way when it comes to tithe. I know a businessman. If I mention his name, you know him, so I won't mention his name. He says that he does not believe in tithing. He believes in giving. So he doesn't tithe. He goes to one of the most popular Assemblies of God churches around. He says he does not believe. I can't understand why he calls himself a bona fide member of that church and does not believe in tithing. You see, so you think that there is no problem, or you think that there's a problem if we try to gather information on people's behavior in the church in the area of tithing. Because how can this businessman go around and profess to be a bona fide pastor of a church and not believe in tithing? I mean, how can it be that if you're a big businessman in our church and you don't believe in tithing, I will know you. And I'll make sure that your crazy thinking is corrected. Otherwise, you go to another church. Because you cannot be a businessman and use our church to be that might go to Lighthouse Chapel International. But I believe in giving and not tithing. It means that my work as a pastor, I've fallen short of it. Now, that same businessman who does not believe in tithing but believes in giving, when they started these local government elections, he was campaigning to be a counselor in one area. He didn't even win one vote. He doesn't believe in tithes, right? Uh-huh. So the heavens are closed above his head. I'm sure you will not understand it. But if people are wise and people have, you know, have a bit of revelation, he can go back and say, you know what? God, why should God promote you? Promotion comes from God. You see, whether the person is a believer or unbeliever, the Bible says promotion comes from God. So even if unbelievers are promoted, what we call promotion is God who gives it. So you can say you don't believe in tithing, or tithing is in the Old Testament, or tithing is past and God. Anybody who says that, the one of the things you must understand about them is that they have a problem with money. That's why. So tithing, you must understand, is a principle in the church that God has set up so that there will be income in the church. Somebody say income. And the church needs income. Yes. Those of you who don't understand that the church needs income, the church needs income. The church is a living entity. And every living entity draws a salary. Anybody who doesn't have a salary, they're punishing. So if the church also doesn't have a certain income, not just income, but a certain level of income, the church will also punish. That's why they say you are poor as a church mouse. Why don't they say you are poor as a parliament mouse? Because everybody in parliament receives salary. Mm-hmm. But the church, they say, well, as for the church, it's about the Bible, it's about prayer, and so the church doesn't need money. Who said so?
Who said so? Last month, the month that is gone, February, when we say come and we bring you in a bus, Sundays and Tuesdays, our bill is over $200,000 for just bus alone. Well, meanwhile, you don't pay tithe, you don't give offering. So where do I take $200,000 from to pay the bus fee? So now I'm going to be wild on the bus. You got to pay the bus yourself or don't come. Because I cannot be standing and preaching and teaching you bring money and bring offering, and the $200,000 out of that goes to your bus when you don't pay tithe. If you don't sow, you can't reap. Yeah. And you may not understand it. You may not understand it. But you can't take from the rich and give to the poor. You will never make things right if you take from the rich and give to the poor. You never make things right. Because the poor will always be poor. There's a reason why people are poor. He that hath is a book. Why don't we have he that hath here? Are you with me? So most of the time, poor people, they despise rich people. And they talk all kind of bad things about them. But if you were to be humble, your pride, if you were to be humble and learn how people become rich, your situation will change. Instead of complaining and criticizing people who have been successful. Yeah. And you have to understand this, that many people who are rich, they don't even believe in God. So it means that if you come to church, you can't be rich per se. Because there's no money tree in the church. There are things that make people rich. Coming to church necessarily doesn't make you rich. Otherwise, everybody here will be a millionaire. Won't pay bus fare for anybody. Everybody come with their own vehicle. In fact, we have to even have problems with parking rather. Are you understanding my introduction? So tithe is a way that God has instituted. If you go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse what? You must know it. Is it 8? Is it 8? Okay. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, can you give me a Creolese Bible, please? Mm-hmm. New Living Translation is a Creolese one. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Due to Pastor Collins? Due to who? To God. So you go on to verse 9. He says that you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. He goes to verse 10. He says that bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. So God has instituted the tithe that there will be enough food in his temple. So if you don't pay tithe, you are actually fighting against God's method of ensuring that there is enough food in his temple. Now, let me say this before I go on. Those who think that the money of the church should be given to the church members, you are not wise. Many unbelievers, many people in the world think that the church should take the offering and give it to the poor people in the church. That the pastor shouldn't drive a nice car. The pastor shouldn't have any salary. But the pastor should take the excess or whatever he has and give it to the poor people in the church. No matter what you do, the people will never become rich. Anybody who receives will always receive. The Bible says that there's more blessing in giving than in receiving. So anytime you are at the receiving end, you are not blessed. So why should we in the church take the money, the offering, instead of buying, let's say, more church buildings and then starting more churches? Why should we leave that and give the money to Dwight Redmond, Who doesn't want to get off his ass to go and work? Why should we do that? Why should you go and work 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, how many days in a week? And then when you pay tithe, they'll say, oh, please, Brother Dwight, look at how his face, he looks so hungry. We take that money and we give to Brother Dwight. Brother Dwight, you say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't need a job. God will help me through the church. You are working, you are paying. He is down there receiving the money. You try that thing. The church will never get money. Yeah. So it is not a wise thing for those of us who have been doing church work for years to take money and just give it to somebody in the church. It doesn't work like that. You say, oh, give to the poor. A lot of people like that. I was passing, there's an orphanage somewhere around where the SDA church is. SDA hospital is, Davis Memorial. And the other day when I was passing by, I saw some guys. I don't know what group they belong to. Nice guys with vehicles. They had parked a lot of vehicles around the orphanage and they were painting the wall of the orphanage. I said, wow, this is nice. That's what the people want the money to be used for. Painting the walls of an orphanage. They don't give the money to the church, you know. And the people want us to give the money from the church to the people in the church. It doesn't work like that. The money of the church is primarily to continue the working of the church, the extension of the church, the preaching of the gospel, the building of churches, the planting of churches, ensuring that there are pastors in place to take care of people and to be spending time with people. That's a way we must spend the church money. Yeah. Until we reach a certain level, you can't divert. It's not even diversion. You just have to be doing one or two things. But that won't be the major reason why purpose of the church. So God wants money to be in his storehouse. Can you imagine that God has built a house? He's built a storeroom. And he says he has given the responsibility to fill the storeroom to the church. Is that Michelle? God has built a house. He says he doesn't use money. God doesn't use Guyanese dollars. He doesn't use US dollars. He's in heaven. Heaven, there's no currency. But to fill the storehouse, we need to buy a ration. A bag of rice, a bag of sugar, a bag of this, bag of that, bag of that. He needs money to do that. And so he has built his church where he's depending on the people in the church to bring in the tithe. And the tithe is 1/10 of all your increase, not just your salary. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm preaching. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says that honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. King James says it better. He says that honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So from that scripture, we learn that tithe is not just from my salary. It's from everything I get. So if I get a raise from England, Rhonda, I don't say, this one is for me. I waited for my salary to pay tithe. No. You must tithe on all your increase. And tithe is 1/10. So if it's 2,000, it's 200. If you can't do the calculation, you call us. We'll do it. We'll use the calculator and show you. It's better to call us for us to calculate for you than to give something that is not a tenth. And not because God is not a waitress in your restaurant. God is not a waiter to be tipped. You can't tip God. God is so mighty. He's so sovereign. He's so all-encompassing that when he says bring something, you can't give him a bit of it. He did not wait on your table to receive less than the tenth. So if your salary is 80,000, you pay 8,000. Some people pay 9,000 because they say, you know what? I can't do calculation with God. If I do calculation with God, he will also do calculation with me. I'll rather lose. So I don't want to do calculation with God. I'd rather do something a little extra so that God will be pleased with me. Because some people, 80,000, they don't pay 8, they pay 8,500 or 9,000 according to your faith. But it cannot go less than 8,000. And I've been telling you that I have discovered for all this time that I've been pastoring the church, people who pay a tithe, the amount changes and it goes down. So January they pay 8,000. February they pay 7,500. March they pay 6,000. Hey, so who's your boss who's taking your money down, your salary down all the time? So when you look at it, I mean, an idiot will know that there's something wrong. Even an idiot will know that something is not right. I mean, there is nobody here who doesn't have a standard salary. I mean, there's definitely a basic. And then if there's anything at all, there's going to be an increase rather than a decrease. Because if there was a decrease, I'm sure the first person who should probably even know is that the pastor. I said, Pastor, you know what my boss man do to me today? This month, I ain't drawn my full salary, you know. I get vexed. I won't stop. Pastor, what do you think? I won't stop work. The pastor say, no. How come your boss man deducted money from your money, your salary? And then the story goes. So that even if we have to look at the title of that, we understand where the problem has come from. But if you went late a few times and they deduct money from your salary, that's not God's problem. That's your problem. You should even thank God that at least they gave you some salary. Yeah, so if your boss deducts your money, something out of your money, you don't deduct something from God's tithe. You don't respect God. It's like, God, this month, you know, you didn't help me. You've made my boss man take away something from him. So you too, you will go get less. God will say, okay. We'll see who needs life. We'll see who needs health. We'll see who needs protection. We'll see who needs protection from Ebola and Zika, H1N1, and what? Swine flu, and all the fancy diseases. Who needs protection from it? Because, yeah. We'll see who needs protection from it. It's you and I. So tonight, with that introduction, I want to speak on the bad thoughts of non-tithers. The thoughts of people who don't pay tithe. Because people who don't pay tithe, it's a thought. It's something in the head. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, I'm talking about money in the church. What should I talk about? The church must have an income. Hey, the church must have a good income. Crystal, the church needs income. Oh, if we are paying bus fee for the month of 200,000 plus, so what happened to the rest of the things that we really have to spend money on? And this is a bill that you have generated, you have brought up, that if you are not to come in a bus, 200,000 will go into the storehouse. Yeah, think about it. So why wouldn't you say, you know what, Pastor, please don't worry with mine. I'll pay my own bus and come to church every Sunday and every Tuesday. Why can you not do that? Yeah. So we get money to do the things that we want to do. Isn't that a good idea? Because if we follow you, we will never prosper as a church. Mm-hmm. So it is getting too much. So now I'm taking my knife and I'm cutting the cake. I say, hey, I can only pay 50,000 a month. If it is two bus rides a month, mean care, that's 50,000 I paying. If you want to serve God at the lighthouse, you find your way to come to the Lighthouse Chapel International. Yeah. I mean, as a leader, sometimes you have to make some difficult decisions. Otherwise, people will make us poor. And it's these same people who say, every time we say we're building something in the church, we ain't seeing nothing. Because we end up using the money to pay the bus for you. But that one, you'll not see you. You'll come and tell me that, meanwhile, the pastor, he's that. We're doing this. He said this. He said we're building something. Me see that thing up to the day like today.
Bus 42 driver. Bus 31 driver. All the bus, whatever route number, they've collected the money all the year through. 47. 32. Parika. Oh, Lord. Andre. Oh. 41. 31. Potencia. Hey. Up to canal number 2, Polda. Bell West scheme. Hey. By the time they get to the church, 2 weeks, 1 month offering is gone. Why? So I'm preaching tonight about the bad thoughts of non-tithers. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23 and verse 7. Or Proverbs 23, sorry. And verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. You'll be surprised that people who don't pay tithe, it's not because they can't pay tithe though. It's because of what is in their head. I'll give you a scripture. Give me verse 6 or 5. Let's read from 5 or 6. Let's start from there. Hey. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. You see, riches certainly make themselves wings. When you get more, when you get money, it has a certain a certain ability to fly away. Like how with the money we are getting, look at how it's flying away into bus money. So at the end of about 6 months, you see that 200,000 by 6 months is 1.2 million. So, 1.2 million. Huh? Into what? Bus. But at the end of the year, it's 2.4 million. He said we could have bought a piece of land in Perfect to build a church there. So as the money is coming, even though we are trying to find money to pay the bus, because you can't say you pay the bus drivers. You see how some bus drivers are very ignorant, you know. Oh, them church, the church people, that you used to pay the free man's street, they won't pay. You see, our name will go everywhere. So it's like we have to even squeeze ourselves and then make sure that they have their money. And then we try and see how we balance the rest. Yeah. So when that little money comes in, that you think that, we have some little money, it's flying. It's making themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Why should we give the money wings to fly when we need money to do other things here on earth? Verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye. If somebody doesn't talk to you, don't eat their food. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. If they take pork and then roast it on barbecue grill, and the smell comes into your house, even to your bedroom, don't take it. The person has an evil eye. Evil eye is a shop, isn't it? So you don't buy from evil eye, oh? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, anybody is who they are because of what they think. Yeah. Yeah. You cannot be less or more than what you think. That's why if you think a lot of negative things, you don't prosper in this life. If your mind is always filled with bad thoughts and negative things, and I cannot and I will not and I'm afraid and I'm scared and who is me and how can I? That's why you will always be somebody like that who can never do anything. So
So such as a man thinks in his heart. It's very interesting that the Bible said that you think in your heart, not in your mind. So if somebody withholds 10% of their increase from God, it is because of a thought. It's not because of problems or difficulties or issues or challenges. It is because of the way they are thinking. You would have thought so. That if I don't pay my tithe, Jamesi. But, oh, it's because this month was tight. No. It's not the tightness of this month, though. It is what is in your head. Well, I don't know if you are getting the secret. That's why the Bible says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because it is the way our mind is, that's how our lives and our actions and our attitudes are. Romans chapter 12. We'll come back to Proverbs 23:7. Romans chapter 12. I'm enjoying my own message. Yeah. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you are not changing since you became a Christian, it's because of what is in your head. It's not God, though. It's you. And what is in your head? If your finances are not going according to how God wants it to go, it's not God who is not able to bless you. God does not bless foolish people. God does not bless disobedient people. God does not bless people who fight with him in their minds. If you follow what God is saying, then what God is also saying about blessings will also work for you. That's how it is. You can't want something that God has promised when you are not doing what he says you must do to receive that promise. So you can come to the church, you can be in the church, and your life wouldn't change because the way God wants you to think and see things, you are not seeing things that way. And therefore, transformation really will not happen. No transformation, zero transformation. That's why people come to church for a long time and you don't see any changes about them because their minds, even to buy a Bible, they don't want to buy a Bible. How can you change? You don't even own a Bible as a Christian. And then you want changes in your life. You want to receive God's blessings and God's grace when even his word you don't have. What do you mean? What do you mean? So you transform by the renewing of your mind. That is when you will be able to prove that what is that good. Because once your mind doesn't change, then even if God has some good intentions for you, you can't receive it. You think about it in a certain way. All right, the pastor, mind me business. It's God who is interested in you. But because you have not been transformed, you cannot prove what is good. Why you won't mind my business? Why you won't know where I was yesterday? Is that part of his preaching schedule activity? No, God is interested in your life. That's why. But you see, because you are not transformed by the renewal of your mind, you can't accept that God is so interested in your ways and your steps and where you go and all of that. So when you go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7 again, it says that such as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let's look at some of the things that as somebody who doesn't pay tithe, there's some of the things they think about. The first one, I'll just do the first one and we'll close. I want you to think deep. Podcast must work, oh. Otherwise, the African guy, you go back and stand at a breakdown. He and that
that eyelash girl. The first bad thought of a non-tither is that I earn too little to pay tithes. I earn too little. Whether what at the end of the month you have access to, or that is what you are paid, they say it's little. And if you understood what I said. Because you can get yourself into a lot of activities that makes what finally you get at the end of the month net becomes little. Because you got to pay courts. You got to pay singers. You got to pay lucky dollar. The dollar is not lucky. You got to pay Fogarty's. For a bed that when you sleep on, you get back pain. Sharon Grant. So, by the time you go to the ATM and you put in your card and you take, ping, 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 85,000 has become 45,000. GPL is 10,000. Children gotta go to school. Water bill. Rent, transportation, money done. So, tithe? Nah. not this month. Next month. You see, it's not that they cannot pay tithe over the 45 or 50 that is left over. They say that the money is too little. But you see, it's a bad thought. It's a bad thinking. You know why it's a bad thinking? Do you know why it's a bad thinking? Because they are trying to tell God that he cannot use the little and do something with it for them in their lives. It's a bad thought to think that God is somebody who wants you to suffer and to punish. It's a bad thought. Because the Bible is filled with people who had little, but at the end of the day, they didn't lack anything. So it's a bad thought that you will give your last meal to Elijah the prophet, and then he will eat and be satisfied, and you and your child, you will die of hunger. I don't know which Bible you have. It's a bad thought because it is based on that thinking that makes people hold back at the end of the month. It's because singer and course and all those people, you didn't tell them that they can't take their money. But you tell God, you tell the church that has no automatic something on your bank account that next month. If you like, tell courts next month. Tell singers next month. Even the lady that you bought a shoe from in a church, if you like, tell that lady in the church next month and see whether when we are doing praise and worship, whether you feel comfortable as we are singing Children of the Wilderness. She's watching you. Say, girl, you gotta bring my 5,000, you know. Even the lady in the church will not allow you to take the money. You, last month, you said this month. I've been waiting patiently. You are singing Children of the Wilderness. You are not in the wilderness. I'm the one in the wilderness. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be lost in the praise. And then, you know how this feeling is when somebody's watching you. You can feel it. And then, you know, your eyes are closed. You are worshiping the Lord. And then you can feel that dama watch me. You open your eyes and you check the Christian sister watching you. Watching the shoes you've brought to church. You have not finished paying shit. Let me tell you.
Number one, nobody asks you to buy something you cannot afford. Didn't you? Are you not Guyanese? Didn't our old people tell us that don't hang your hat where your hand can reach? You's not Guyanese? Where are you from? You's Beijing? Why are you hanging your hat where your hand can reach? Yeah. Cut your coat according to your size. We creep before we crawl or we walk, huh? You want 72-inch flat screen TV in your house where when it rains, water drips into the living room. So don't come now and tell God that the money you have left over is little and you won't pay tithe. Because no matter how little it is, I remember when Elijah went to the widow of Sarepta. The widow said, "Man of God, how can you tell me this? That the last flour I have, and I'm going to cook for me and my son to eat, and therefore we die thereafter. Why do you want me to give it to you?" Elijah said, "As long as the Lord God Almighty liveth, as long as you do what God wants you to do for his prophet," he said, as for food, then you eat these 3 years. He said, "There will not be a lack of food in your house until it begins to rain again." Change your thinking. Change your thoughts. Your thinking is bad. I say your thinking is bad. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think of. He can take care of you. He will take care of you if you do what he wants you to do. I remember when the 5,000 men and women and children, they were hungry. And they said, "Where can we get food?" And they said, "Oh, look, you should go and buy something." And the disciples said, "Buy something? 5,000 people? Which restaurant in Guyana? Can you take them to?" He said, "Does anybody have anything around here?" He said, "There's a little boy with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread." He said, "Bring it! Whatever you have in your hand, I can use it. I can make it grand." Is that not the song you sing here? Why are you thinking like that? That I have small. I have little. I can't pay tithe. Because whatever is left is little. I have children. My children's shoes. My little child. The shoes have become like an alligator shoe. Lord, I can't pay tithe. I got to buy a new shoe. Because when my child goes to school, they will laugh at she. They will laugh at her even more. 2 fishes and 5 loaves. He took it. And he blessed it. He broke it. It fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And always, women are always a lot in the congregation. So the women were even more than 5,000. And I'm sure that little boy, even if the disciples picked 12 baskets of fragments, then a little boy who offered his lunch, Jesus said, you need a container load. You take this one and take with you home. The little boy would not have lost anything for the little that he gave to Jesus. Why are you thinking that it is little and you can't pay tithe? Why are you thinking that it is small and therefore you can't give anything out of it? Your thinking about God is wrong and it's bad. That's why you're behaving the way you're behaving. But I challenge you tonight that if only you prove God, if only you test God, God will come through for you. I said, God will come through for you in your finances. He's the one who makes water comes out of a desert. He's the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way.
That's the kind of thinking you must be thinking about God. I remember when he went to the church and he was checking how people were paying, giving money and offering. And so some rich guy came and he gave something. He said, a widow came and she gave a mite. Jesus said, this one rather, is blessed and justified because she has given the last of whatever she had. Where in the Bible did people take their last and give to God that God put them to shame before? Christian brother, Christian sister, which Bible do you read? Which Bible do you read? The Bible says, this is not possible with men, but with God, all things are possible. He's a God who can make a woman pregnant without having sex with a man. I don't know which Bible you read. I don't know what is working in your mind, but we serve a God who is able to do. He is able to do. He is able to do. He can take care of your finances. He can take care of your health. There's nothing that God cannot do. Oh, I feel like a convention night tonight, man. He never disappoints. Michelle, God never disappoints. So let your thinking be changed and be affected. I tell you. Otherwise, we will continue to go through dry weather. Because if the woman, the widow, had refused Elijah that meal, I tell you, we would have read in the Bible that from that day, the woman and her son died. But she proved God. She proved God. Let your mind be filled with positive thoughts. Think about possibilities. Think about what is possible. Think about that it is possible. It can happen. It will work. It must work. And God will surprise you. I tell you. I was listening to a message by Bishop. Was it this morning? Yesterday or so? He was preaching at the King of Kings. Is it King of Kings? A cathedral. Bishop Steve, and he was saying how when they wanted to buy the Collegon Cathedral, and there was supposed to be $100,000 or something like that. He asked Bishop Steve, how much money we have? He said, we have the equivalent of, I think it's $700. And he said, hey, 700 against 100,000. It's bad news. So he said, they had fundraising. They got some. He had a program. A pastor came. And they did the program nice. And he collected some offering. He said when they finished and the service was over, then the Holy Ghost told him to take all the money and give it to the pastor. You have $700. You are going to buy a property of $100,000. Now the pastor has come and preached powerfully. People have given some offering. Instead of taking it and looking for extra to add up and something like that, you are going to follow some voice or some thought in your head, say it's the Holy Ghost. You are giving it to the pastor. You know the end of the story. He gave the money to the pastor. Because the thought was that if God can provide this one for me, that he can also provide more. He can also provide me extra. Like Abraham thought, I have only one son. All my years, I've been going back and forth. People have been looking at me. I say I believe in a God who is ever present, whatever. I'm talking about God to all my neighbors. They know my God. For 100 years, even one child I don't have. And when I get this child, he says that you give the child back to him. God said, no. Abraham said, no problem. God is able. When his son asked him, what are we going to use? He said, don't worry, God is going to provide. Abraham knew that even if I give him this, my last son, he who gave me a son in my 100th year will give me another one, even in my 1,000th year. Oh, I said he will give me another one in my 1,000th year. I want you to believe God for great things. Believe God for better things. Think good things. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let a setting possibility thinking come in your heart and give and sow and let God.
God have an opportunity to bless your bread, to bless your meat, to bless your food, to bless your money, to bless your bank account. From today, I see somebody rising out of ashes. I see somebody rising out of difficulty. I see somebody becoming blessed. I see somebody's money coming back, coming back, coming back in the name of Jesus.
Stand to your feet, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mama manderebe kabraskata barababa. Leka braskata barababa. Namara manderebe kabraskata yababanda. Lebreskete berebe kabraskata yababa. God is able to do. Lebrosakata yababa. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you were to die right now, if you were to die right now, no movement, no movement, please. Stay wherever you are. Nobody should move, including ashes. Nobody should move. Every eye closed. You are here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. God is calling you. God wants to give you an opportunity to receive eternal life. That whenever you die, you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pastor, please, I want to respond to this salvation call. I want to receive this free gift of salvation. Please pray with me. I want to receive Jesus Christ tonight. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed, you want to lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want this opportunity. I don't want it to pass me by. Just lift up your right hand very boldly, right up, 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 so I can see. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to be born again. Please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to pray with you. Come. Get out from where you are and come to me. I want to pray for you. Come. Come to me. Clap for them as they come. 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 Find yourself somewhere. Come. Come to the front. I want to pray with you. Come, come. If you lifted up your right hand, come. I want to pray with you.
Lead me to the cross where your love for now. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
Come, I want to pray with you. You talking, I hear talking. If you are here in front, pray this prayer with me. I want the church to join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From tonight, I believe that I'm born again. I have been saved from hell. Have eternal life, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.